While the women prepared, the men ate their late breakfast at base camp. Margot briefed them about the day's plans. Saul and Piero's sole priority of the day was to get water to Vicente, and their responses to the proposed dive behind the waterfall reflected an onset of jungle lassitude. Saul's glance at Piero and Piero's response in the cast of his eyes skyward revealed their views about the eccentricities of gringo females. Though the plan was for a solo dive, the women agreed it was a good idea for each of them to don the nylon skins in case an emergency rescue was necessary. Margot had brought along an underwater flashlight. This, aside from the small cylinder of compressed air, was Miranda's only piece of equipment. It was around 9:30 when they began tracking the sun's angle, and they realized the most intense rays would reach into shadowy areas behind the waterfall earlier than thought. Miranda had gathered her hair back and tied it, then put on goggles. She poised on a boulder at the sunny side of the cascading falls, a sleek naiad in blue, smiling into sun-spangled mist. Margot and Willa stood near her, their intense glances darting from Miranda to the glimmering depths. Their emissary's entry into the pool happened so quickly that it was almost anticlimactic. Miranda was startled to see the object right away as soon as she descended some 10 or 11 feet to the bottom. A great stone slab lay there, aslant with one corner submerged and its opposite elevated a few inches. She swam to the back edge of the slab and saw it was dark in color with no markings. Then she turned and blinked, astounded at what she saw. The huge opening. Only with the sun's aid could she have seen it so clearly beneath overhanging rock. Miranda took a quick breath from the cylinder and pushed off with her flippers from the slab to move toward it. She raised the light and turned it on. In the beam were what appeared to be wide steps covered with sediment. She swam closer beneath the great lintel to see that steps led upward as far as could be seen. Conscious of the anxiety of those waiting, Miranda hesitated no longer and carefully took each step, shining the light all around to see nothing but more steps covered in waterlogged sediment. She aimed the light above her and climbed into dim darkness until her head suddenly broke through the surface of water. She continued to climb until the stairs became shallow. They gave out at last into a wide tunnel. Miranda stopped and turned off her light for a moment. She gazed about, open-mouthed, scanning in every direction, then stepped back down until her chin rested on the water's surface. Miranda drew a deep breath, held it, and placing her hands against the rock to impel her downward, returned to the slab in a few heartbeats. She pushed off hard against its side and soared up to the sunlit air. The women almost ended up in the pool with her. They were so elated to see her. She bobbed a couple of times, gasping for air and laughing. Willa and Margot caught her excitement, laughing too, and Miranda finally moved toward their outstretched hands and exclaimed as they pulled her out, "It's there! Oh, you just can't believe this! Great stars, it really is there! And not just a hole in the rock, steps up and up, right up out of the water." "Out of the water?" Margot screeched. "Steps up through the surface of the water. They go up to a wide tunnel. And wait until you hear this. There's light up there."
"What?
You mean like the Chronicle says, artificially lit? Or do you think there's a shaft letting in light from above?"
"It's not like that. Not like the light from a single source. It's softer and more diffuse. Margot, I think we can go in, all three of us."
What? Willa exclaimed. But how can we? Wait a sec. Let's work this out. Miranda drew in a deep breath and flip-flopped over to their log seat. She sat down with care to protect the diving skin. Willa sat next to her while Margot paced to and fro, her flippers slapping the ground. First of all, I used only one breath of air the whole time. She waved her hand at the gauge. I didn't even have to use it coming back, you see. That's why... Here's what I think. We should gather our clothes and shoes together and wrap them in a tarp or something. Also, we'd want a survival pack, maybe even extra food. See, we may be able to follow the tunnel for a ways, and don't you think we should prepare for that?
Absolutely.
Margot stopped pacing and nodded. Once we have all that in a reasonably waterproof bundle, I'll use a little air and take the bundle down, then up the steps out of the water and set it there. I'll come back, let you know I'm ready, then one at a time, you can plunge to the bottom with a stone for weight. You'll drop it, and I'll pull you with my greatest speed while you push with your feet, then climb right up the steps out of the water.
You mean hold our breath? How can we do that?
Willa looked a little green. Okay, now, let me finish. The only reason it took me so long is because I moved slowly. You won't believe how little distance we have to cover. Now, the other thing, the matter of your breathing. First, after all the preparations are made, you have to let go of the fear, because there isn't anything to fear. Then, controlled breathing. First, deep breathing to oxygenate, followed by a relaxation technique. You know how, if you've ever done meditation and reached that really serene state, your breathing slows way down? It happens sometimes between waking and sleeping, too. It almost seems like you don't need to breathe. Well, if you can calm your physical responses just before you plunge into the water, all you'll have to do is paddle as I pull you along, then step, step, and step. Before you know it, your head will be above the water. Margot and Willa glanced at each other. Then Margot looked at her watch. It's not even 11 yet. That would give us 5 hours, which should be plenty of time and to spare. Miranda, you gather your clothes over there in your emergency pack. We'll go to base camp and send the men to Vicente on their own.
What about guarding the camp? Willa said.
Oh!
Margot sounded like someone had punched her. She stopped and took several deep breaths.
I guess it's the chance we'll have to take. Maybe we can talk the men into waiting until morning to haul water, and have one of them stay behind. The other take along a couple gallons and let Vicente know.
I think that sounds reasonable, don't you, Miranda? Willa said.
Willa, I'll gather your clothes and mine, Margot continued, and our canteens, while you grab granola, raisins, and check on how many are left, but I think we can spare 3 tins of sardines. That should be enough so that if time... Oh, yes... Let's put one of our watches deep inside the bundle, in case my waterproof model doesn't hold up. Our lives may depend on timing. It would be disastrous to come back out at night. If we overshoot 5 hours or so, we'll be bound to spend the night in there, so we'll need to keep track of time. We'll use the strong plastic drop sheet from Miranda's survival kit to wrap the bundle in. Miranda, you can get that out and have it ready. That'll save a little time. All right, let's go. There was a brief delay when the men balked at the change in plans. They were reluctant to jeopardize Vicente and his pack team by not replenishing his water supply as planned. At last, they agreed that Piro would stay behind while Saul hiked with as much water as he could carry. He would return at once, so that Piro would have enough of the afternoon left to make a second round trip, while Saul rested. By the next morning, they all planned to return to the top of the stairs and journey back to Chalet. All the women's gear was readied inside a gunny sack made from the space-age drop sheet. Margot twisted it shut and tied it with a long strap that could be slung over a shoulder. At Miranda's suggestion, they didn't wear flippers. They would be too awkward on the steps. Miranda had gathered two heavy stones and placed them at the pool's edge. Margot and Willa each hefted one. They agreed they should be heavy enough. It was time. They stood motionless, looking at each other, the tumble of the cascade roaring in their ears. During the days of trekking, they'd longed to hear it. Now they could hear nothing else. Margot glanced at her watch, then looked up at Miranda. Ready? Miranda lifted the bundle as her answer. She made a turn toward the pool and then turned back. One more review. Remember, watch for my head to pop up out of the water. Pick up your rock while counting to 15 for me to get back to the bottom. Breathe deeply and then jump. It'll be a snap. Easy for her to say, Willa grumbled as she watched the girl turn, drop the bundle into the pool and follow it. She's got the air. Okay, do your breathing exercises with me and let's avoid panic. She's right, it won't help. We'll have to stay calm. They could see Miranda's figure through rippled water as she pulled the bundle into dark reaches. They passed the brief time while she struggled with the bundle up the steps in relaxing as Miranda had coached them. As agreed, Margot went first. She'd never been petite like Miranda and had thought the stone was unnecessary. Still, her rapid descent to the pool's bottom amazed her. She lost no time in dropping the stone while trying to orient herself.